Hey, it's Ed Helms from the podcast Snafu with Ed Helms. The official Big Bang Theory podcast is back, covering seasons 3 and 4 of the TV show. Each week, host Jessica Radloff speaks with crew and cast members like Kunal Nair, Mayim Bialik, and Kevin Sussman. Hear about the Easter eggs you may have missed, behind-the-scenes stories, and how certain real-life relationships shaped some of the most memorable storylines. Watch the official Big Bang Theory podcast on HBO Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing the all-new Mazda CX-5, featuring more connection.
Hey, Google, where's the nearest Pilates class?
Safety that has your back. More discovery on the scenic routes. More passion in the details. And more control in changing weather. The all-new Mazda CX-5. More to move every side of you. See it in 5 films at MazdaUSA.com/5sides.
Google is a trademark of Google LLC. Sequences shortened and simulated.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's move on over here to another case that we have been following that continues to progress. A federal judge just used a phrase you almost never hear from the bench, calling the evidence against former Stoughton police officer Matthew Farwell very strong, if not overwhelming. Bail denied. A motion to dismiss already rejected. A sealed request to suppress evidence likely heading for the same fate, and the state medical examiner has quietly amended Sandra Birchmore's death certificate, removing the word entirely. So with the October trial approaching and every major pretrial move failing, the question isn't whether Farwell's defense is in trouble. It's what their actual strategy is at this point and whether any of it can work. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, is with us. Eric, that state medical examiner just did something almost unheard of. They went back and changed Sandra's death certificate, took out the word S-U-I-C-I-D-E, since we have to play by YouTube's rules, took that out, changed asphyxia by hanging to just asphyxia. That was the foundation. Farwell's defense was building the entire case on that. The state already ruled that this was that. See, it's in writing, Judge. It couldn't possibly be that. What goes through a defense's team's mind when the ground that they've been standing on, that they, I'm sure, knew was rather shaky, just pretty much cracked and disappeared right before the trial?
Well, you know, as a trial lawyer, especially on the defense side, you've got to shuck and jive with the punches that are going to be thrown at you, and you're not going to be able to anticipate all of those. So they've got to adjust. But there is an adjustment they can make here. And I think the adjustment, Tony, is saying, hey, the medical examiner, they got it right the first time. And they maintain that position for years and years. And I know there's all this public pressure and they're being compelled to sort of change their position. In fact, that these folks are so rickety and flimsy that they're willing to just change their final position years later to pacify the public masses. That just shows you how scary mob rule is and how it is influencing what's happening in this case. Jury, you don't buy it. You stick to your guns and something along those lines. I think defense has a way to make adjustments, but not as good as it was.
Yeah. Farwell's defense, they lost that motion to dismiss, the venue change, the bail request, and the judge signaled the motion to suppress is probably going to be going nowhere either. Obviously, so many, most cases, the everything that goes on being litigated happens before the trial. So much of the actual case is litigated before we actually get into the courtroom for the actual trial itself. Looking at this case specifically with all the motions that they've lost, how is this stacking up for you in your mind? Is this a case that it's the normal procedures that have been gone through here? Yes, they've lost pretty much all of them on the defense of Farwell. And sometimes this takes us to one of two places. Either, okay, we've lost everything. This is all we could stand on. We got to figure out a plea deal of some sort here, or we're going to take this this thing to trial and go all the way. What does this read like to you? Is this something where, you know, let's try this lever, let's try that lever, they all failed, now what? What is the what for you in the defense camp of Farwell at this point?
I think this thing is pretty well teed up for trial. No. I don't see some plea agreement unless it's to some substantially reduced charge with very limited incarceration. I just think that the defendant's going to stick to their guns on this. I don't think that they're budging. And also, you know, the original determination that this was a suicide,
self-deleted
I think that holds water, and a jury's going to look at that and be like, oh, when, you know, the experts who make these determinations, what the first time they looked at this, they sided with the defense, and now things are all messed up. Is that enough doubt to secure reasonable doubt at a jury trial? I think that's the direction we're headed. I think a plea is rather unlikely.
Yeah, but I'm curious about the impact also, though, of the years that I think they're going to be able to bring, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, if I misread everything I'm seeing, on the grooming that took place from the time she was 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of observations. There's most likely going to be text communications between Sandra and friends and family of hers, which we already know about. I mean, so when you have that as an arc of behavior, it's hard to imagine a conclusion that didn't end with her self-deletion. I mean, it's hard to imagine a conclusion where she self-deleted rather than him do it just because of that arc.
Very fair point. And that grooming is going to take center stage. And I think the way defense might play it is they might say, hey, you know, have you ever made a mistake at work? You fudged something. You weren't accurate about something. You lied about something. But then later on, someone got really hurt, and they're trying to pin this second thing on you when you're saying, "Hey, I made some errors at this level, but I didn't. But those errors did not somehow connect me to this subsequent event where tragedy happened. And now they're trying to loop me in on both of these things. You've got to find me guilty for my misdeeds, but those misdeeds are minor compared to the death that they're saying I inflicted upon this person." I'm just wondering if the defense tries to handle the grooming aspects in that fashion.
So in other words, you're thinking that they might say, yes, I did do the grooming, but I didn't do this.
They might halfway admit to it, saying that there were some regrettable interactions, something along those lines.
Is that chargeable, though? Again, I'm so sorry, Tony. I mean, depends on
the jurisdiction. Some jurisdictions have grooming charges, others don't.
Yeah. I mean, it would be, when the argument is made, it's like, these are minor. No, they're not minor. What you did was to a minor. And that needs to be into the open here. And I'm wondering just how much does that then, if we were to take this case and we were to take all of the things that we know about her years of being in the Police Explorer program as a young teenager, meeting these officers, including Farwell, and the grooming and all that went on while she was underage. And yes, she was, you know, an adult by the time this happened and she died. But if you were to take that out of there, I'm wondering how much of a strategy, you know, how much you can actually employ that strategy. I know we just kind of talked about that a bit, but I don't know how you how you downplay that one. It's not like, oh, he, you know, he was calling her a lot when they were kid, when she was a kid, but nothing else happened. I mean, it's not like a lighter side to this. It's pretty dark and pretty damning when you look at all of the behavior while she was a minor, and juries are not going to read that one very kindly. He would have a far better chance, I think, at surviving this and maybe getting reasonable doubt, although I doubt it, if all of that did not exist. But the fact that that's there, I mean, it's like Murtaugh's financial crimes, but worse. It's such a damning footnote to the story that it's almost...
It's just like a teacher that gets accused of essaying a student because it's a position of authority that you're taking and a public trust, and you're abusing your position, you know, because you actually have that power and authority over someone else. To me, it's exactly the same.
I don't know what the question is.
I know, I'm just making ramblings.
I don't either. No, I mean, because I'm just kind of making the observation of like, is, you know, does that, how do they... Can they? How, I don't know. How would you tiptoe around
there
that?
How does defense get by that? There you go.
You know, I think you'd do a few things. You would have to have ethical and evidentiary support to do this. But you sort of frame it as, hey, my client was going through some stuff. They were at a rough patch in their life. And people aren't always thinking clearly. They're not always making the right decisions. Sometimes they make really bad decisions. And in fact, juries often appreciate when you own facts that you cannot reasonably dispute, ones that are in black and white. If you could cop to those, sometimes you can impress upon the jury, hey, this guy's being real with you. He's admitting to some untoward stuff, some stuff that no one is going to admit to unless they did it, because he's here to be real with you about that. But he's not going to admit to something he didn't do, because he didn't kill her. He did these really bad things. And so sometimes that's a way to handle it, is to own it by saying, hey, he's copping to the stuff he did, but he's not admitting to the death because he didn't do that. And if he would have, he'd be copping to that too, but he didn't do it.
But how does he argue the DNA, there's so much that puts him there on camera. I mean, it's like, you're there, dude. You're like, what did she just say? Oh, bye. And then she did it. I mean, I guess that must be the argument of like, they saw each other. That's probably the lane they're going to go down. He was there, because he can't argue that he wasn't there right before this happened. That's factual. I guess it would be, well, they had an argument or something, and then she was so depressed that she ended it. I mean, that must be the only road they could be picking to go down here.
Yeah, I'd not be surprised about that at all. And, you know, they're going to play upon the trope of a minor woman who is going through adolescence and all the pressures and stresses and anxiety of that, and the insecurity and instability of that, and then who has, you know, reached out to and is having improper communications. Not that it's her fault, but these interactions. And, you know, is someone in that position capable of doing something drastic if they got emotionally distressing news? If there was an emotionally distressing event, are they capable of that? And I think you sort of open up that world to the jury by saying, hey, is there an alternative potential explanation? Well, let's look at the factual predicates that would be necessary. Yeah, it looks like those are present here in terms of this type of person. Now, I'm not blaming her. I'm not saying she did this, but I'm saying this is how her defense team could try to handle it.
How come they're not going for an essay charge on him? There's no statute of limitations on this for when she was 15 and groomed into this. I'm just curious, any idea on why that is, Eric? Because I would think why not?
If they have the goods, I think absolutely you bring it, because it's a big piece of the story.
Yeah.
The jury's going to want to hear about that. And in fact, if it remains uncharged, I think that inures significantly to the benefit of the defense, because they're going to say, hey, look, they're telling you he murdered her. They're also telling you, basically, that he essayed her. But, oh, they didn't even bother to bring a charge. Why didn't they bring the charge? Well, it's because they actually don't have evidence supporting that. They want this whole monstrous narrative to be true against my dude. And it's just not. And the absence of this charge, which they're saying is a central component of this entire saga, tells you that they don't even believe in it. That's one way defense might say.
Do you think that's why they might not be going for a plea deal, just because they think it's weak on that side because they haven't been charged? And I'll flip it. Two questions in one, sorry. Do you think if they were able to bring those SA charges from when she's a minor, that they might actually seek a plea?
They could still bring them now, and that could give added leverage for a plea, yes.
Yeah. It's interesting.
What I'm wondering about is if they're going to do this, play this card or not, is that she was a promiscuous young lady. That's what I'm saying. Like, I kind of want them to try and argue this because it ain't going to work out
right,
well.
You're going to pick them up, right?
Because, I mean, and you can't obviously say that about her, you know, when she's a minor, but she was an adult when she was murdered. But I am wondering, because they do have others that can back that up. She was, but then you look at the world of, well, she was also groomed into this by these monstrous men. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a pretty quick, oh, you're going to make that argument? Well, let's see what made the recipe here of her mind state at that point in time. I'm just wondering, do you see a world where they're going to try and make that argument to a jury, and how well do you think that shit's going to land?
I think in this case in particular, it would be perilous to try for defense to try to insinuate that this during most of the time minor was somehow loose and some fashion, you know, however they do it. And if I'm the prosecutor, I am absolutely making a pretrial motion to exclude any such evidence or argument regarding that about the alleged victim here, because it's a character assassination and it doesn't really go to the charges. Let's assume for a second that a human being was promiscuous. How is that relevant to whether this police officer offed her or not? It doesn't factor in to that analysis. So I'm telling the judge, hey, it's not relevant. To the extent it has any relevance, it's outweighed by undue prejudice of character assassination against this young victim who is now deceased. I think a judge is going to exclude.
Yeah. I mean, just, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think of any lanes that they could go down of trying to basically character assassinate her, because she's not there to stand up for herself. And you might get, again, you're going for a jury. All it takes is one. I think you'd have most of them being disgusted by that sort of argument. But 12 people. You might get one that's sympathetic, that thinks in a very different way than the rest of us. And that might be, I mean, when the cards are down, obviously it'd be way too hard to determine if that's the road to take, but could you see a scenario where it's like, well, let's roll the dice, because that's about the only thing we can go for, is maybe a hung jury, maybe some jackass will be sympathetic to that claim.
Oh, totally, Tony. There are many instances in which, the defense really doesn't have the right hand, but they got a wild card in there, and they're going to throw that out there, and they're going to see what happens. Jury nullification is a real thing. There are cases where there are substantial evidence sufficient to convict somebody, but you get a jury thinking a particular way about a particular issue, and then you magnify that issue, and you have that be front of mind for the jury, and all of a sudden, the jury's questioning the fairness of the system. They're questioning the fairness of this entire process in which they are involved. And that can make some folks disinclined to issue a conviction, even if there is substantial evidence supporting it. And these sort of wild cards are often the ways that we get to a jury nullification acquittal.
And is there also, because I'm just doing the research on this essay, so a lot of people are aware of it. The family's up in arms about how come the prosecution actually hasn't brought that charge forward from when she's groomed and essayed and, you know, horrendous things done to her at an early age. Is there a strategy that is actually beneficial to the prosecution? Because they're saying they're going to bring it up most likely in the trial. Is there a strategy that it's better to not bring it up so they could use it in trial? Or is it just kind of befuddling as why they're not?
No, you can't do a trial by ambush. And in the criminal world, especially, if you're a prosecutor, you're going to bring some shit up at trial. You've got to give the other side pretrial notice. And so the other side would see it coming. And I just don't see any benefit to not bring the charge if you have significant evidence. And if it is a critical piece of your theme and theory, which for the prosecution, it looks like
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, as always, thank you for being here and giving us your insight into all these cases. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books and on audiobook. Go and check that out. It's going to wrap it up. Until next time, for Robin, for Eric, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience, no problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience, no problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today's episode was brought to you by Simple Mills. The feeling of the sun in a delicious snack. From their tasty crackers to their crunchy cookies, Simple Mills snacks taste good and are good for you because they're made from purposefully chosen ingredients. That purpose? Lifting you up, never weighing you down, so you can keep shining through the day. Find Simple Mills at your grocery store.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah. That feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.